my nose prickles. Something they never mention in the brochures is that the night-blooming plants let rip during the tourist season. I try not to sneeze convulsively as Ramona sashays right up the red carpet, bypassing the gaggle of tourists being checked at the door by security. A uniformed flunky scrambles to grovel over her gloved hand. I follow her into the lobby and he gives me a cold fish stare, as if he can't make up his mind whether to grope my wallet or punch me in the face. I smile patronizingly at him while Ramona speaks.
You'll have to excuse me, but Bob and I are new here and I'm so excited. Would you mind showing me where the cashier's office is? Bobby, darling, do you think you could get me a drink? I'm so thirsty.
She does an inspired airhead impersonation. I nod, then catch the doorman's eye and let the smile slip. If you'd show her to the office, I murmur, then turn on my heel and walk indoors, hoping I'm not going in the wrong direction, to give Ramona space to turn her glamour loose on him. I feel a bit of a shit about leaving the doorman to her tender mercies, but console myself with the fact that, as far as he's concerned, I'm just another mark. What goes around, comes around. It's darker and noisier inside than on the promenade, and a lot of overdressed, middle-aged folks are milling around the gaming tables in the outer room. Mirror balls scatter rainbow refractions across the floor. At the far end of the room, a four-piece is murdering famous jazz classics on stage. I spot the bar eventually and manage to catch one of the bartender's eyes. She's young and cute, and I smile a bit more honestly.
Hi, what's your order, sir?
Vodka martini on the rocks. I pause for just a heartbeat, then add, and a margarita. She smiles ingratiatingly at me and turns away, and the ghostly sensation of a stiletto heel grinding against my instep fades as quickly as it arrived. That was entirely unnecessary, I tell Ramona stiffly.
Wanna bet? You're falling into character too easily, monkey boy. Try to stay focused.
When I find her, she's leaning up against a small, thick window set in one wall, scooping plastic chips into her purse. I wait alongside with the drinks, then hand her the margarita.
Thanks.
She closes the purse, then leads me past a bunch of chattering one-armed bandit fans towards an empty patch of floor, near a table where a bunch of tense-looking coffin dodgers are watching a young chav in a white shirt and dicky bow deal cards with robotic efficiency. What was that about? I murmur.
What was what?
She turns to stare at me in the darkness, but I avoid making eye contact. The thing with the doorman.
It's been a hard day, and American Airlines doesn't cater for my special dietary requirements.
Really? I stare at her. I don't know how you can live with yourself.
Mark, over there,
she jerks her head almost imperceptibly back towards the door,
likes to think of himself as a lone wolf. He's 25, and he got the job here after a dishonorable discharge from the French paratroops. He served 2 years of a 5-year sentence first. You wouldn't believe the things that happen on UN peacekeeping missions.
She pauses and takes a tiny sip of her drink before continuing. Her voice is over-controlled and just loud enough to hear above the band.
He's not in contact with his family back in Lyon because his father kicked him out of the house when he discovered what he did to his younger sister. He lives alone in a room above a bike repair shop. When a Mark runs out of cash and tries to stiff the house, they sometimes send Mark around to explain the facts of life. Mark enjoys his work. He prefers to use a cordless hammer drill with a blunt 3/8 bit. Twice a week he goes and fucks a local whore, if he's got the money. If he hasn't got the money, he picks up tourist women looking for a good time. Usually he takes their money and leaves their flight vouchers, but twice in the past year he's taken them for an early morning boat ride, which they probably didn't appreciate on account of being tied up and out of their skulls on Rohypnol. He's got an 8-foot dinghy, and he knows about a bay out near North Point, where some people he doesn't know by name will pay him good money for single women nobody will miss.
She touches my arm.
Nobody is going to miss him, Bob.
I bite my tongue.
You're learning.
She smiles tensely.
Another couple of weeks and you might even get it.
I swallow bile. Where's Billington?
All in good time, she croons in a low, sing-song voice that sends chills up and down my spine. Then she turns towards the baccarat table,